Well, I want to talk to you today about something very powerful. Of course, everything from God is powerful, isn't it? His word is awesome. I was discerning in my spirit whether to keep going in worship. And he said, no, I want you to speak this word today. I said, okay. Because he says, I want my children to be free. You know, freedom is learned and trust is earned. One of the things that we're learning, God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Knowledge is a representation of light because it's truth. Knowledge in this arena, which is truth and light, is also life. Is everybody with me? It's life. So just because somebody has knowledge about something, that determines whether that knowledge is from above or from beneath. That which is from above is life. That which is from beneath is temporary. Is everybody with me? Okay. Good. You know, when I was bound by drugs and alcohol and every other demonic activity that I touched and agreed, I was a walking hotel. About six stories high and about 38 rooms. Who knows? And when I began to cry out to God for help, one of the things he asked me, he said, do you want to get off of drugs and alcohol or do you want a whole new life? And I realized I tried getting off of it myself and went to programs and everything else, and I couldn't because there was something that was lacking, and it was wanting a whole new life. And we need to have new life, don't we? Amen? We need a new life every single day. So many people get lost in the arena where they've accepted this new life and then gone back to the old and think that they have the new. Let me tell you, the old and new does not mix. It doesn't mix. In other words, you can't say you want to get off drugs and alcohol, come out of fornication, all these other things, unless you want a completely whole new life. You must want a new life. Does everybody understand that? And let me tell you something. A job doesn't give you life. Relationships don't give you life. Fame and prosperity and wealth and all these other things do not give you life. There's only one that gives you life. And that's the King of Life. Amen? What is life? I want to share something with you. There are three dimensions of life. Are you ready? There's life that is sustained. There's life itself. And there is eternal life. There's three dimensions of life. Life that is sustained, life itself, and eternal life. Is everybody with me? Praise God. Go to John chapter 1. How many of y'all want to sustain your new life? Amen. John chapter 1. Life is not religion. In John chapter 1, in verse 6, would you read it with me? Is everybody there? Praise God. Lord, we ask for your revelation, confirmation, and manifestation to maintain new life in Jesus' name. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a what? A witness. To bear witness of the light that all through him might believe. Now, the word light here means life. Has everybody got it? It means life. He said he was a witness of the light or of life. How many of y'all want to be a witness? Well, the Bible says that when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, you will have power to be what? A witness. Hello. So obviously we got to understand something, that to become a witness is to maintain a new life. And that's only sustained by the Spirit of the living God. Does everybody understand that? Good. In verse 8. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was a light. That was the what? True light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. What's the word light mean? Life. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. What's the word believe mean? To follow. Who were what? Born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Okay. Light is life, right? The life that was given is sustained. Is everybody with me? Okay. New life is born out of knowing the life giver. In other words, before you were born again, is everybody with me? You were in life, right? The whole world is in life. And we just went around and did whatever we wanted to do, but actually we were dead men. But life was being sustained, wasn't it? Even though we were doing the wicked things in our life, that's called sustained life. But there's another place where there is new life. And that new life can only be granted until you know the life giver. Does everybody understand that? Okay. So the first dimension that we talk about life is life that is sustained. The second dimension is when we begin a new life, amen, which we call born again, which is only established by knowing the life giver. So everybody got it. And the third dimension, hallelujah, is eternal life. And that is a gift granted by doing his will. Is everybody with me? Because see, there are many people who've been born again and have not chosen to do his will and went back to do the devil's will. That eternal life is a gift only by doing the will of God. Does everybody got it? But see, when you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, all of these were available to you, weren't they? Amen? Because now you've walked in your predestined plan. The first part was accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That meant everything is available to you, isn't it? Is everybody with me? Good. Isn't repentance doing his will? Amen? So the first thing that someone does is they repent and accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, right? So that's the beginning of doing his will, isn't it? Oh, hallelujah. I want to refresh you on this for a second. We know that there are three dimensions of life. The life that is sustained and a new life that is born out of knowing the life giver. And the third dimension is eternal life, which is a gift granted to me and you by doing his will. Is everybody with me? Good. Go to Acts 17. Hallelujah. Acts 17. Praise you, Lord. How's everybody? Come on. Hallelujah. Oh, it's wonderful. Wonderful. Wonderful life, new life. Hallelujah. Acts 17 and verse 26, you there? Read it with me, please. And he has made from one blood every nation of man to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their what? Pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. So that they should what? Seek the Lord. In the hope that they might grope for him and what? Find him. Though he is not far from each one of us, Come on, read it with me. For in him we live and move and have our being. That's sustained life, isn't it? People don't understand when they look at the stars and the universe and they're searching out all these other planets and things and they think that there's life beyond. They have no conception that all of this is in life. Amen? You know, if you can just picture, because God is eternal. That means he's past, present, and future. But in him, there is no past, present, and future because he's the one that created time. So what he did is he cut out this big chunk of eternity, pulled it out, and said, I'm going to call this the universe. That way there's a beginning and there's an end. Everybody with me? And in this, he said, I'm going to put life. Has everybody got it? And then he set everything, boundaries and times and seasons and everything. He set the stars perfect so that when one burns out, it shifts the universe and everything shifts. Everything is perfectly planned. People are going, oh, no. I mean, come on, think about this. They're all saying there's global warming. Well, it's because we're getting closer. I bet you this place is getting a little bit hotter. Jesus is coming. It's going to get real hot soon. They're so concerned about global warming. Blows my mind, you know. They have no idea that or the conception of what's happening here, you know. So Jesus took this chunk out of eternity, right? And he created time. If you read Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning. Well, in the beginning, well, that means God created time. Amen? There was the what? Heavens, the spirit realm, and the earth, the natural realm. So God's the one that created time, and he just fit us in it. Because everything is set by boundaries, appointed, predestined, before all of this was already made. So you were already predestined. I tell people, man, if they can just comprehend this, Jesus was already here and gone before he came. Because in the Spirit, there is no space or time. And that's where he wants to get you. Oh, hallelujah. We could go on this. I better get back here. Okay. So the first life that is sustained, the Bible tells us that in verse 28, for in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his what? His what? Offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone. Something shaped by art and man's devising. Oh. Truly these times of stupidity, I mean ignorance, God is overlooked, but now commands, I'm telling you, commands all men everywhere to repent. Why? Because he's appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. So we see all of this is associated with not with dementia, but appointed times and seasons. Everything is predestined and set. The only thing he's asking you to do is cooperate. Everybody with me? Oh, praise God. In him we live, move, and have our being. We did not come from monkeys, did we? Hello. We did not come from kind of some kind of plasma protein or whatever, you know? And man was, listen, man was created from the dust. All right? Animals were created from the dust. But they're two different species. Right? We're made in the image and likeness of God. Far be it that some monkey should be made in the image of my dad. I don't think he'd like that. It's amazing in how these theories become truths. But see, to man they become truths, but to the spirit of truth they will never be truth. And that's why people aren't free, because people think they were evolved. I mean, you go around to some, I mean, think about some religions. man, in some countries, and I think it's India, where the animals, they think they could be their grandmother or their mother. You know, and they eat their food and they're starving to death because they don't, man, don't move back. It could be your mother. You know, this cow comes up and eats the food and everybody starves. I think that's real dumb. It's called deception, isn't it? Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Yeah, we didn't come from some protein or plasma or whatever. We came from what God created, matter. Amen? He created it. And he created to make something out of it. Amen? And that's where you and I walk in faith. Because what is faith? Grabbing hold out of nothing until it what? Becomes something. Oh, because we're his offspring. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. So we see here that this is, I'm sharing with you the first dimension. We live, have our being in him, and don't even know it. Did you ever see an aquarium? You go in there, it's in this glass cage-like, and the water's filled, and all the fishies, and people put in little homes in there, little rocks and little bubbles. Well, that's the universe. All right? And it's sustained by this glass thing, but the universe is sustained by the Word of God. And everything in there, the little fishies and all kinds of other stuff that live in there is like humans. We live and have our being in God. That aquarium is like God. So everybody look at that. Amen? That's a representation of the first dimension. Is everybody with me? So everybody is in the first dimension. You are no longer in the first dimension anymore if you are born again. Does everybody got this? See, so you're no longer under the... That's what allows you to come from under the rules and regulations of that dimension. You're not a part of it anymore. That's why the law was given to sustain individuals in the first dimension. Hello? Go to John 3. 1 John 3, I'm sorry. Hallelujah. No, I'm sorry, John 3. Just erase that one. Hallelujah. Is it cold in here or is it you? Oh, okay. People are pulling out blankets and whatever you do, don't start the popcorn, will you? They got kids' church in there. Please don't start the popcorn. This Bible study, everybody turned into a movie day, you know? Hallelujah. In John chapter 3, starting at verse 1. Now, is everybody getting this? Are you understanding what's happening? We'll get more into this here. Verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, of course he wouldn't come by day, he wouldn't get caught going to go talk to Jesus of his position. And he said, Rabbi, well, man, that would have, for a Pharisee Jew to go and say to Jesus, Rabbi, which means teacher, oh, man, he'd have been thrown out of his organization. He would have been barred. And he said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with you. And Jesus said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time in his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. He's talking about new birth. Amen? New birth. New life. New life. In this, we're talking about another dimension. Is everybody with me? He was saying, listen, you cannot enter the kingdom of God the way you are. In other words, the kingdom of God is not manifested according to the way you are. There's another dimension which the kingdom of God is. And Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world, is it? So he sent him, he said, you know, Nicodemus, you must be born again. And Nicodemus was like, what do you mean? I'm too big to go through my mother's womb. How am I going to be born again? And Jesus said, by the Spirit. Why? Because the Spirit is the one that gives birth. Is everybody with me? Come on, everyone say, the Spirit of the Lord gives birth. Oh, hallelujah. Now, I want to share something with you, because there's a difference between being saved and born again. And we have a teaching called, Are You Saved or Born Again? Being born again is an arena of the dimension, the second dimension of life. Is everybody with me? When you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you were conceived. Is everybody with me? When the anointing of the Holy Spirit came upon that seed, it was birthed, and you became a new creation in Christ. That's why there's people who are saved, right? But they're not walking new. Has everybody got it? In other words, they're still walking the old way. How many times have you seen people come to the altar over and over and over, accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and go back out? Well, that ain't born again. Because there's another dimension, and I share with you already, only the Spirit can birth the seed. Has everybody got it? Only the Spirit can birth the seed. And I know that there's a, and listen, I'm not coming against anyone who says that just because they accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they're born again. So be it. That's up to them. I'm not coming against any of those things. I'm telling you what I see and what I've experienced. And I've seen people have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and not be born again. Has everybody got it? Why? Because it's the seed. Only the Holy Spirit can birth that seed. He's the one, when you are birthed, you become a new creation. Has everybody got it? Okay, look it. Go to 1 John 3. 1 John 3. New life. Everybody wants a new life. Well, then you got to learn how to sustain it. First John chapter 3. Oh, hallelujah. Go ahead, start at verse 7. Would you read it with me? Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin. For his seed remains in him. He cannot sin because he has been born of God. Now, the Bible says that the Word became flesh, didn't it? That's why Jesus is the name that's above all names, because it represents the Word that became flesh. It is the seed of God, isn't it? Jesus is the seed from God that was going to produce and birth his offsprings. Has everybody got it? So when you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you were conceived. When the anointing, when you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, you're born again. Why? Because you're a new creation. Even when Saul, who became Paul, if you recall, he had a visitation on the road to Damascus. I mean, that visitation knocked him right off his horse. Right? One of the things he did is he accepted the Lord, didn't he? Because he said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And Jesus said, I want you to go to Simon's house, right? And then he sent Ananias to lay his hands on him. To what? Get baptized in the Holy Ghost. Paul became a new creation. Not when he accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Does everybody got it? But when he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Not that accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior is the beginning of the process of new life, isn't it? Amen? Because then the seed is anointed. You know, I can only share with people why it takes so long to get born again. That's why Jesus, now listen to this. Jesus was with his disciples on the earth three and a half years, right? Were they saved? Yes. Did they believe him? Yes, they followed him, didn't he? Were they born again? No. Does everybody got it? That's why he said he commanded them, go to the upper room till you get baptized in the Holy Ghost. Why? Because then you'll be a witness to me, not just because you believe, because believing means to follow, but you need to have the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit so you can be a witness to me so you can maintain the new life. Does everybody got it? Oh, hallelujah. The seed remains. Jesus is the Word. It's birthed by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Listen, that's why Jesus didn't go around. Jesus was the seed, wasn't he? He was the seed of God. You might look at him as saved. I mean, you know. We know he's saved. I'm saying, hallelujah. Remember, he came as the example, didn't he? Right? He didn't do any miracles. He didn't become a witness, did he? Until what? When the anointing of the Holy Spirit come upon him, what did he hear? This is my Son whom I'm well pleased. Why? Because through the anointing of the Holy Spirit, it brings relationship. That's why God is Spirit. And you must worship him in truth and in spirit. But see, the enemy tries to get you to out of the Spirit. Because he does not want you to walk in new life. See, now religion can't figure that out. Because religion is still carnal. Has everybody got that? That's why Jesus said the natural mind, the carnal mind, can't receive the things of the Spirit. For they are foolishness to him. They can't get it. Not that anybody's any better. But there is a difference between the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And it's truth that makes you free. Truth makes you free. And there's an area where God wants us to maintain the new life that he paid a price for us. Hello? Oh, hallelujah. Look, go to 1 Samuel chapter 10. Oh, to God be the glory. Everyone say, new life.
New life.
It's for me. First Samuel chapter 10 and verse 1. Come on, speak it. Then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head. Not Samuel's head. He poured it on Saul's head. And he kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord has anointed you commander over your inheritance, over his inheritance? So Saul was anointed by Samuel, right? He says, listen, God has anointed you. Now, there's something you got to do to go receive it. So you might say that Saul got saved. Now he needed to be born again because he would not be able to handle the things of God that God had prepared for him until he become a new creation to handle the things of the Spirit. See, people can't handle the things of the Spirit unless they're in the Spirit. There's a difference. So what did he do? He said, listen, in verse 4, I'm going to send you somewhere, and they're going to greet you and give you some loaves of bread, which you shall receive from their hands. After that, you shall come to the hill of God, where the Philistine garrison is. And it will happen when you have come there to the city that you will meet a what? Group of prophets coming down from the high place with a string instrument, tambourine, and flute, and a harp before them, and they will be prophesying. Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be what? Turned into another man. I told you that the Spirit is the one that gives birth. Does anybody understand that? Holy Spirit. So now Saul became another man, didn't he? Amen. And he walked with God for a while. But then he began to come out of it. You know what began to hinder him? Pride. Pride. Then he began to justify. He began to take things in his own hand, began to compromise God's will. Do you remember when they were sent to destroy and they were told to kill everybody and even the flock and the animals and the king? And Saul comes back with all of this flock and they were told to kill the children and everything. And he comes back and with the king that they captured, and he thought he could use him for a good ransom, and came back with all of these animals, and he said, and he told Samuel says, man, what you doing? He says, well, you know, I brought all these animals. Well, God told you to kill them. Yeah, but we can use them for a sacrifice. Did God tell you to use those animals for a sacrifice? No, he told me to kill them, but ministry. Do you understand? Move you right out of God's will. And the Lord finally got up, fed up with it. He said, Saul, I got myself somebody else. And the anointing lifted from him. And he put the anointing on David, but he didn't remove Saul yet. That's why David had the anointing of the king. Saul lost it, but he had to put them together so Saul could still maintain kingship. Does everybody understand it? David had the anointing. But Saul was still in office until he died. That's why Saul really went berserk when he was, because he was chasing David. Amen? Why? Because that religious spirit hates the anointing. That religious spirit hates the anointing because it exposes him. Oh, hallelujah. Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you and you will prophesy with him and be turned into another man. That's called born again, isn't it? But anybody can come out of that born again state. Look at the chambers of the tabernacle. Are you not the tabernacle of God? Amen. There's the outer courts, the holy place, and the most holy place. The most holy place is called born again. What maintains that? The truth, which is the holy place. Once you come out of the truth, you begin to fall back. You end up in the outer court so where you can walk right out of the court. That's people's choices, isn't it? Oh, hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We do have a teaching on saved or born again, which I'm really not trying to teach on that today. Hallelujah. But sometimes we just need to clear up a few things so that the Bible says make no place for the devil. Amen. So we see the first dimension is life-sustained. The second dimension is called born again, which is knowing the life-giver or having a relationship with the life-giver. Amen. Praise God. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Would you read it with me? Therefore, if anyone is what? In Christ, what's the word Christ mean? Anointed one is anointing. He is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Well, how come when people receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they're still the same way? Because the anointing, the Spirit of God, they haven't been baptized yet. Now, can that happen all at once? You betcha it happened to me. Do I desire it happen to everyone? Yes. Hallelujah. Man, hallelujah. we could just have church. All right, everybody lift your hands and get baptized. Boom. Not born again, praise God. You teach tomorrow night. But it doesn't happen that way, does it? Why? Because God's got a process and a purpose. Amen. We got to do it his way, not ours. And he who is in Christ and the anointing. That's why the difference of the Spirit of Christ and the Spirit of God are not going in there either. Go to Matthew 7. Matthew 7. New life. New life every day. Maintaining a new life. To God be the glory. Does it mean that you're going to make a mistake? Of course, once in a while, right? Amen? You're going to say something you shouldn't. You're going to do something goofy or whatever. But it doesn't mean that you're going to be in that state. Because when you're born again, you hate that place. In Matthew 7 and verse 21. Would you read it with me? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who what? Does the will of my Father in heaven. Has everybody got that? This is third dimension called eternal life. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But only those who do the will. That's that gift, isn't it? Many will say to me that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice what? Lawlessness. Whoa. So if there's an individual who's accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and saying, yes, Lord, I do this stuff, you know, but I'm still fornicating, still using, still doing this, still doing that, breaking covenant. Hello. God will say, I don't know you. I don't know you. Amen? That's why we have a fearful expectation sometimes, don't we? Especially those who've been born again and baptized in the Holy Spirit and they go back. Man, they can't sit still and take it back with Daddy. Why? Because inside they know that hell is knocking on their door. Know it. That's the third dimension. We must do his will. The third dimension of life. It's the fullness of redemption. Amen? Go to John 14. Hallelujah. John 14, and verse 6. Would you read it with me, please? I believe. Yeah. Jesus said to him what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except for through me. Wow. I am the way, the truth, and the life. New life must be maintained. Has everybody got it? Jesus said he's the way, truth, and life. Now, there's three areas in this because he said, I am the way, truth, and life. In other words, he's the tabernacle. So you are the tabernacle. Now, your body, right, is known as the outer court. Your soul is known as the holy place. And your spirit is known as the most holy place because it's your spirit that communes with God. Your soul interprets and the flesh does the work depending on where you are. That's why the anointing is to take dominion over your flesh. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Now, Jesus said, I am the way, truth, and life. In other words, your spirit must be maintained, your soul must be maintained, and your flesh must be maintained to maintain a new life. Is everybody with me? All of those things must be maintained to maintain and walk in a new life. Because one of the things that the devil wants to do is contaminate your spirit. Now, your will is the door to your spirit. Why? Because your will is the place you make choice. So when you choose to do something and agree with the devil, the door opens up and your spirit gets contaminated. And that's called a corruptible seed. That's why the Bible says, cleanse your spirit and your flesh. Is everybody with me? Oh, hallelujah. So to maintain this new life God has given us, you must maintain your spirit, your soul, and your body, or your flesh must be maintained and put in submission and kept cleansed. Or you cannot walk in the new life. Has everybody got it? Go to John 10. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 7. John 10 and verse 7. Would you read it together with me, please? Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Come on. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he shall be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more what? Abundantly. To have abundant life, the new life must be maintained. Has everybody got it? So Jesus came to grant us abundant life. Life abundant to be manifested in this new life, there must be a realization and revelation that there is the thief, the killer, and the destroyer of the new life. Does everybody got this? I mean, it's so important. First of all, for you to maintain this new life, of course, we talked about maintaining your spirit, soul, and body, you must have a revelation and a realization that the powers of darkness are trying to prevent you from walking in this new life. Has everybody got it now? They do not. Why? Because in this new life, you are hidden in Christ. They can't see you. We talked about this yesterday. See, if you're hidden in Christ, you're hidden in the anointing. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide by the shadow of the Almighty. Nothing shall befall you. See, what the devil does is say, come on out of there. Where are you? And he loads up his demonic pea shooter and shoots fiery arrows. He goes, I know there's somebody out there. So it hits people. The ones that are in the spirit and walking, the shield of faith, bounce off. The ones who are touching unclean things, it penetrates. And they light up. And he says, dirty air! Other than that, he can't see you. Because you're hidden in Christ. Come on, you understand this? That's why he's got to shoot it all over. He's looking for you on his demonic sonar detector. And radar detector. Where are you? That's why the Bible says he seeks. Searching. Like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can what? Devour. He don't know where you are till you get in the flesh. There! He can't see you. You are hidden in Christ. Oh, come on. That's why when you're praying in the Spirit, he really can't see you. If you're in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, he can't see nothing. That's all he can do is shoot out all of these fiery darts and arrows and waves of stuff and whatever, you know. All right, where are they? Man, he's more afraid of you than you are him. Because he don't know where you're going to pop up. That's why you pray in the Spirit. God sends his angels and said, knocks him out. Poof. And take your hands off my kid. Boom. Hallelujah. But see, we must have the realization and revelation that darkness is trying to steal your new life. kill your new life and destroy your new life. What he's trying to do is just find you. Because you're hidden in Christ. Powerful. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Oh, hallelujah. I mean, the purposes of a born-again believer is a Christian. In fact, the word Christian means Christ, right? Well, that means if you're a Christian, then you should be walking in the Spirit, in the anointing. Oh, hallelujah. You know, I didn't even know what a Christian was. I didn't know what a Christian was. I was a Roman Catholic, still roaming for the truth. Nobody told me I needed to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I didn't know about getting baptized in the Holy Ghost. Amen? Well, that means I was being destroyed for lack of knowledge. I didn't know. But I found out. Glory to God. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. Therefore, hello? Come on. If anyone cleanses himself. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And verse what? 19. Well, where are you guys at? All right, I repent. I don't want to be a bullseye. Cover me, Dad. Missed. Hallelujah. Are we there yet? Ooh, yeah. Got hot in here all of a sudden. We must be on something here. Glory to God. In verse 19, come on now. Will y'all read it with me, please? Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Come on, keep going. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Now he's telling you how to be separated, isn't he? He's saying, man, don't be hanging out with people that ain't calling out of a pure heart, man. Yeah, they claim to be believers, but they're still touching unclean things. Hello. Because their God is gold. Their God is silver. They are users of God and not expressors. Okay. In verse 23. But what? Avoid foolish and arrogant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be what? Gentle to all. Able to teach. Patient. In humility. Correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth. And that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his what? His will. Now that's very powerful. So it says that we must cleanse ourselves. This is a very important word. Self. Cleanse ourselves. Oh. Cleanse our what? Cleanse ourselves. Self represents the old man. right? Self is the offspring of darkness. God does not associate with self. He associates with his child. Come on. The satanic trinity in man is me, myself, and I. Come on, get it. The satanic trinity in man is me, myself, and I. Has everybody got it? Why? Because you and I are born in darkness. That's why you must be born again in light. Light represents life. The satanic trinity in man is me, myself, and I. Satan's greatest weapon is what? And his power is fear. Trinity of deception is what I what? Feel, think, and what? See. Why? Because that's where the deception is, isn't it? The trinity of deception is what you think, what you feel, and what you see. Because that's where he gets you in deception. Is everybody with me? And the trinity of fear is anxiety, stress, and worry. Satan's greatest weapon is deception, and his power is fear. Those are what the areas that he uses to bring you out of new life. The trinity of deception is what you feel, what you think, and what you see. Why? We do not walk by sight, we walk by faith, calling those things that are not as though they are, grabbing hold of something that's nothing until it becomes something. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. That's how you walk in the Spirit. That's walking in the Spirit. Why? Because when you're walking in the Spirit, you're hidden in Christ. See, but the enemy begins to shoot out things, doesn't he? So that you can be exposed. And then he puts you in the flesh. See, once you're in the flesh, self is just awakened. Hello. Here I am. Me. I. Feed me. It's what I think. It's my will. It's what I feel. You know, Satan's main scripture in his doctrine is do what I feel like. Amen? Do what you feel like. If it feels good, do it. Amen. Hallelujah. Go to Matthew 16. Hallelujah. We want to maintain new life. Matthew 16. Whew, hallelujah. Verse 24. This is why he said, and Jesus said to his disciples, his what? His disciples. What did he say to them? If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. That means the child of darkness. Do you remember when he said to Peter? Remember Peter said, Lord, ain't nobody going to get to you except through me. Man, talk about self being manifested. Come on, me and you are tight. I mean, he lost sight that Jesus was God. Jesus said to him, Satan, get behind me. Who was he talking to? Self. Satan, get behind me. You are a stumbling block to the will of God, and that your only desire is to fulfill the will of man. And that's what self does. Wants to fulfill the will of man. Is everybody with me? Good. So Jesus said, listen, if somebody wants to come after me, he better deny himself, take up his cross, and follow. Follow. Oh, hallelujah. Deny self. 1 John chapter 5. Are you all right? Praise God. 1 John chapter 5. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 6, would you read it with me? This is he who came down by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who what? Bears what? Witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. It's the tabernacle in heaven. You notice that the Son wasn't mentioned because he wasn't birthed yet. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree as one. So you are now the witness on earth. Why? Because you are now the Spirit washed by the blood, filled with the Spirit. Amen? You have the Word in you. You are now the tabernacle. You are now the way, the truth, and the life. You are new life. And what the enemy wants to do is contaminate your spirit, your soul, and your body. That's why we must maintain these things. We must keep them cleansed from the filthiness of the world and the lust of it. Why? To maintain, to be a witness, you must maintain a new life. Amen? Come on. How can you be a witness if you're still out there doing stuff wrong? That means you're not maintaining new life. And the abundance of life is not manifesting in you. Because without this new life maintained, abundance isn't coming. People are still crying out to God, oh, Lord, I need this here, and I need this, and I want this, and I desire this, and I need you on weekends. And how people go to church on Sunday just to look for Jesus. But you won't find him until you look for him all the time. Hallelujah. To be all right? Praise God. Must cleanse their spirit, soul, and body for witness, because abundant life is a witness. You know, the Bible tells us that we'll know them by fruits. Fruits. You'll know the spirits that attack you by the fruits. You'll know your own spirit by the fruit. See, your heart is the character of your spirit. Is everybody with me? Your heart is the character of your spirit. So if your spirit's contaminated, so is your heart. Your heart will express the contamination of your spirit, or the goodness of your spirit. Go to Matthew 12. Oh, hallelujah. Matthew 12. We're going to let God be God, right? Verse 33. Would you read it with me, please? Either make the tree good and its fruits good, or else make the tree bad and its fruits bad. For the tree is known by its fruits, or your spirit is known by, or the spirits are known by their fruits. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. So this is where you know whether you're heart is contaminated. Just listen to what comes out of your mouth. If your spirit's contaminated, you'll see what comes out of your mouth, and so will everybody else. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that every idle word from word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. You know them by the fruit of their mouth. Evil spirits impress, and man expresses. See, because who is impressing you? Evil spirits? The Holy Spirit? Right? So whatever you're impressed with is what you're going to express. Whatever you're associated with, remember, everything in the spirit realm that you're attached with or associated with is going to manifest in the natural realm. That's why the Bible says, two touch and agree and it comes to pass. Go to verse 43. And when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes to dry places seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house, which he calls your body, from which I came. And when he comes and finds it empty, swept, and put in order, then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Ouch. These are unclean spirits that we need to be cleansed from, because they're always trying to get back. Always. By maintaining this cleansing, it's called deliverance. Everyone say deliverance. And people need to maintain their deliverance. There are three areas of access. Inheritance, self-imposed, and ignorance. Hallelujah. How does the devil access you? Through things you've inherited? Through choices you made, which bring self-imposed curse? Only where there's a curse, the devil has access. So the devil tries to get you to curse. Ancestral curses? Self-imposed curses are choices that an individual makes. And a temporary curse is out of his ignorance. Everybody with me? Those are three areas or three places where the devil has access to you. So everybody got it? In Matthew 16. Now I said all this so that we can start. We're going to teach Tuesday night about maintaining your deliverance. And we're going to start doing some deliverance. Because people need to know how to deliver themselves. Does everybody understand that? People need to learn how to deliver themselves, man. It's not just about going having somebody cast devils out of you. And there's nothing wrong with that. But if you don't know how to keep them out of you, hello, they come back. People come up to me and say, man, I got a drug addiction. Can you cast a devil out? Only if you're willing to be discipled. Hello. Why? Because that devil's going to come back. And the worst that you're going to come, you're going to get worse. Come on, how many people you know have backslid besides yourself? Things got worse, didn't they? Amen? Man, the torment of those devils, woo! I know this girl, she'd come for deliverance. And she just couldn't hold on to anything. She didn't want to stay. She'd run and whatever. She called me from every part of Florida. I see fire! No kidding. We'd hear from her, call, we'd get a collect call from this part of Florida in jail, this part of Florida in jail, this, you know. But God used her to bring Lissy. Because she ran into this girl in jail and the woman said, I want to give my baby to someone, I'm pregnant. And so she called us the first time, and we were like, uh-oh, here we go again. And she called back, hey, I got somebody who wants to give you a baby. Oh. That's how Lissy came, through the grace of God. Hallelujah. But anyways, this girl would call from all over the state of Florida. I see fire when I use, no kidding. She said, every time I use, I see fire. Hello. I don't know, I haven't heard from her in a long time, so I don't know what's happening. Matthew 16:16, somewhere around there. Oh, I'm sorry, Mark 16. Mark, erase Matthew, will you? Mark, M-A-R-K. Mark 16. And verse 16. Oh, praise God. Come on, you need to turn those pages. It became a fan and cool you off a little bit. He who believes, what's the word believe mean? Follow. And is baptized will be saved. Whoa. But he who does not believe or follow will what? Be condemned. I think that's Makes it pretty simple. I would say it's in black and white, but it's actually in red. And these signs will follow those who follow. Glory. And they will what? In my name, they will cast out demons. Man, we need to learn how to cast out your own devil. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. Woohoo. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. That doesn't mean you go out and siphon gas and test God. Because you will die. And it doesn't mean you do the cha-cha with serpents. Hello. Did you ever see those religious goofballs? They dance with snakes. You talk to the child a year later. Where's your mother? Dead. Where's your father? He's dead too. No. That's called religion. It'll kill you. And they will lay hands on the sick and they will what? Recover. Hallelujah. So we have the authority to cast out devils. Like I said, the purpose of this teaching today was to maintain new life. What must be maintained and understood, that there must be a revelation and a realization that you're not fighting flesh and blood. And you got to begin to learn and discern the fruits of those spirits you're associating with. Because Satan's temptation and his deception is through your thoughts, your feelings, and your sight. Amen? Go to Philippians 4. We'll close here. Then we're going to have communion. Glory. So Tuesday, we're going to talk about maintaining deliverance, and we're going to start going through some self-deliverance. Praise be to God. Philippians chapter 4. In verse 4. Would you read it with me? Rejoice in the Lord sometimes. Always. Hallelujah. Rejoice in the Lord only when you feel like it. Rejoice in the Lord only when you think it. Rejoice in the Lord only when you see somebody else doing it. Good, we've exposed deception. Rejoice in the Lord always. Always. Praise God. Let your what? Gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Right? Verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And that's what we're going to do. We are going to make requests. What I'm going to ask you to do is to write your requests. What are you struggling with? I want you to begin to search the fruits. I want you to begin to search the fruits of these spirits, some of your reactions and so forth. And I want you to start writing stuff down. Then what we're going to do is we're going to lay the supplications before the altar of the Lord. It first starts with confession. And that's how you confess your sins to one another. Amen? But we're not going to go around the room and open up dirty laundry on each other. Hello. So we're going to lay it before the altar Tuesday. No, actually, you can do it today if you want. And we're going to continue Tuesday. We're going to lay our requests. I know some of you have some novels you're going to write, so you might want to do it over the weekend. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Is everybody okay? And then we're going to pray over them, and then we're going to start our self-deliverance. Amen. I want to read something to you before we close about new birth. New birth is actually the message of the kingdom. Amen? Upon repentance, a new order of life opens to the believer in Jesus Christ. Jesus used the figure of new birth to dramatically indicate three things. Without new birth, there is no life and no relationship with God. In new birth, new perspective comes as we see the kingdom of God. God's word becomes clear and the Holy Spirit works wonders, and belief is increased and experienced, and faith becomes alive. Through new birth, we are introduced literally, and we enter into the new arena, the new realm, where God's new kingdom and order can be realized. New birth is more than simply being saved. It is a requalifying experience, opening up the possibilities of our whole being to the supernatural dimension of life and fitting us for a beginning in God's kingdom order. That's what he calls new birth. That's called new life. Has everybody got it? You are walking in a new life. That's how you have access to the throne room of God. That's why you are the offsprings of the Anointed One and His anointing. You're brand new. That means that we've got to begin to conduct ourselves as brand new and maintain this brand new life. We must learn to maintain deliverance. We must learn to keep ourselves clean and cleansed. We must learn to forgive. Sometimes we must learn to forget. Hello. Amen. The whole purpose of this new life is for you to be blessed and Him to be blessed. How is He blessed? Because now you are a witness of new life. Does everybody get it? Now you're a witness and everybody wants what you have. Amen? Everybody wants what you... So you're supposed to go through stuff because that's how that new life is expressed and that's how the witness to your Father is witness to man. Because they want what you have as you go through stuff. That's why the Bible says, count it all joy when you're attacked by the enemy. Amen. Count it all joy while you're going through. Count it all joy while you're waiting on God. Count it all joy when things aren't going your way. Count it all joy when you're sick. Count it all joy when you're a bonehead. Count it all joy when you make a mistake. Hallelujah. So what? Forgive me, Lord, and go on. Learn from it and go forward. Amen. Amen. Let the past bury the past. Amen. That's what Jesus said. Let the dead bury the dead, right? You know, we got another wonderful teaching called Killing Your Past. New life has nothing to do with old. Maintain your deliverance and your freedom. You know how many people lose their deliverance? They lose their healing because they begin to associate with old. Amen? Maintain your new life so that you can be the witness Christ has created you to be. Amen? Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we take opportunity right now and repent for every old thing we've done. Lord, and touch and agree with self, the powers of darkness. Lord, we ask for your forgiveness, please. And Lord, as we prepare our hearts to take communion, Lord, we partake of this in the oneness with you. Let your light so shine and your life shine through us. Let the expression of your love, of your character, be expressed through us, Lord. Let the purity of your heart become our heart, that we may be the witness for your glory. In Jesus' name.